Now, the little text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting tonight, you'll find really at the end of verse number 27 of Colossians chapter number 1. And simply these words, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it has been said that a mystery is a truth undiscoverable except by a revelation. And that statement really means that a mystery can only be understood and made known to us by God Himself revealing it to the hearts of mankind. Now in the world, yes, there are many mysteries that man cannot fathom. There are many mysteries that you and I cannot understand this side of eternity. However, there is one vital mystery that God has made known, that God has revealed unto us. And that mystery is the gospel. That mystery is God's glorious plan of salvation for sinners through His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And my God, yes, has revealed this great mystery unto us through His Word, the Bible, this Word that we have in our hands tonight. And people, that is really one of the reasons, the chief reason why the Bible is so important. People, that is why the preaching of God's Word and why the spread of God's Word is so vital, so important. Because through the Word of God, God reveals and God shows to this world, He shows to mankind His great plan and purpose of salvation to sinful, hell-deserving sinners like you and I. Indeed, that is why the psalmist speak of God's Word to the Lord, and he could say, the entrance of Thy Word giveth light. God's Word gives light. It gives light to darkened hearts and darkened souls about the gospel and about the good news of how souls can be saved. And my, that is why the Bible is so important. That is why we should treasure our Bibles. We should value our Bibles as a treasure beyond price and beyond all rubies. Indeed, can I say tonight, that is one of the reasons why the devil has continually attacked God's Word down throughout the ages of time. Right from the very Garden of Eden itself, the devil is always attacking the Word of God, and he will continue to do that to the end of time. He is continually attacking God's Word, undermining the truth and the authority and the teaching of God's Word. And can I say that in recent times he has done this in particular through the many modern versions and the multiplicity of modern versions of Scriptures that are to be found in this age in which we live. People, can I say to you tonight, the best English version of the Scriptures that you can read, that you can study, that you can use, is the Authorized King James Version of the Holy Scriptures. And how important it is, how vital it is that we cleave to that version of the Scriptures which is most true to the Old Testament Hebrew and the New Testament Greek that was given to us by God. Now it is indeed this great mystery of the gospel that Paul is writing about here in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 27. When he says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here he tells how God has made known the mystery of the gospel to the Gentile people. He says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And there he's talking about the mystery of the gospel. Here he tells how God has made known the mystery of the gospel to the Gentile people. And indeed, summing up the gospel to these Christians here in the church at Colossae, to whom now he writes this letter, he sums up this gospel message in the final words of this verse, which is really our text for this evening. When he says, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Indeed, this is what it meant for these Colossian Christians to be saved. It was Christ in them, the hope of glory. Can I say also to you tonight, men and women, young people in this meeting this evening, this is what it means for you and I also to be saved. It is indeed Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means to be saved. This is what it means to be a partaker of God's so great salvation. And tonight, in the time that is left, I want us then just to look at this glorious summary of the gospel before us tonight. There are three things I want to set before you from this little text of Scripture. You'll see here, first of all, with me, the essence of the gospel. Our text says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you'll notice there that in our text, Paul makes mention of the name of Christ. He says, Christ in you. And here we have, dear people, the very essence of the gospel. Here we have the very heartbeat of the gospel. It is Christ. My, just as a wheel would revolve around an axle, so the gospel message is a message that revolves around God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Indeed, that is why the Apostle Paul, whenever he was writing his letter to the church at Corinth, says, we preach Christ crucified. That is why he also said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, because the gospel is all concerned about God's Son, Jesus Christ, who came into this world. Now, whenever we think tonight about Christ, we think about his person. And what a person is the person of Christ. Speaking of Christ, the Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Christ was God incarnate. He was very God of very God. He was the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh. And in Christ dwells all the fullness of God. We see God in Christ. Look at the statement that Paul makes in the next chapter, Colossians 2, in the verse number 9, speaking of Christ. He says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness of God is in Christ. You think back to one of the great titles that was given to Christ at his birth. A verse we often read off and see at Christmas time. It speaks of the name of Christ and says, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He was none other than God manifest in the flesh. And being the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is one who is able to save sinful man from the ruin of his sin. Indeed, this is why, because he himself was sinless. Christ knew no sin. He did no sin. He kept the law of God perfectly. My, man is sinful, but not so with Christ. The Bible says of Christ, he is the altogether lovely one. He is holy, harmless, undefiled, the Bible says, separate from sinners. Oh, as you think of Christ tonight, see him as the Son of God. God manifest in the flesh, without sin, without spot. Man is full of sin, full of corruption, but not so in Christ. He is without sin. He is impeccable. He did no sin. He could do no sin. And being sinless, he was able to satisfy God's justice and make a way for sinners like you and I to be saved from our sins and to be reconciled with God. Bible speaks to you and I about Christ and about God, and this is what it says. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Oh, Christ is indeed the Son of God. He is God manifest in the flesh. Oh, think of his glorious person tonight. He went about doing good. Think of the miracles that he performed here on earth. He touched the sick. He raised the dead. He healed the leper. He caused the dumb to speak. What is God saying through it all? That he is indeed Christ is God manifest in the flesh. That he is the one that reveals God unto us. What a glorious person there is in the person of Christ. But also when we think further of Christ tonight, not only do we think about his person, but we think also about his sacrifice. You see, he came to die. Many people think that Christ came just to be our example. He is indeed our example, no greater example. But the chief purpose of him coming to this world was to die, was to be a sacrifice for sinners, to offer himself, the Bible says, without spot unto God. Being the sinless Son of God, he offered himself on Calvary's cross as a sacrifice to God for sinners. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He came to pay the debt of our sins to God by his atoning death and blood shedding and sacrifice upon the cross. Turn with me in your Bible back to Philippians chapter number 2. Look at what you read there of Christ and verses 7 and verses 8 of Philippians chapter number 2. It says of Christ that he made himself of no reputation. He left behind all the glory and all the splendor of heaven. And he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. My, he suffered and he bled and died for our sins upon the cross. You know, whenever he died upon the cross and was shedding his blood, the wrath of God that we deserve for our sins was poured out upon Christ. It was a substitutionary death. The Bible says he was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He himself cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The wrath of God that was our due, the hell that we deserve for our sins in full, was poured out upon Christ, the Lamb of God, the sinless Son of God. By his sacrifice, yes, God's wrath was quenched, and my Christ provided, he made a way of salvation. He purchased a way of salvation for hell-deserving, guilty sinners like you and I in this meeting tonight. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Oh, see the glorious person of Christ. He knew no sin. See the sacrifice of Christ. He is called the Lamb of God. See him dying on the cross for guilty sinners like you and like me upon the cross, laying down his life, pouring out his life unto death, shedding his precious crimson blood. What for? To purchase, to provide salvation, a way back to God from the dark paths of sin for sinners like you and like me. And this is what Christ did by his death upon the cross. And this salvation, what does it mean? It means that you and I can know the forgiveness of all of our sins before God. Look at what Paul says there in Colossians chapter 1 and the verse number 14. He speaks of Christ and he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of his sins. Tell me, are you longing tonight for the forgiveness of all your sins before God? How can that be so? Where can you find it? In Christ, through the blood of Christ shed upon the cross. Also, this salvation means that you and I can know peace with God. Look again at how Paul makes mention of that in verse 20 of Colossians chapter 1. He says of Christ, and having made peace, he says, through the blood of his cross. Is there a longing in your heart tonight for peace with God? Are you burdened, concerned about your sin? Has there been a war going on in your soul between you and God, and you long for peace with God, your Maker? How can you know that peace? Where can you find that peace? You can find it in the cross, in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can know peace with God. This salvation also means that you and I can now be reconciled with God and know the friendship of God, know Him as our Heavenly Father. Look at what Paul says there further in verse number 21 of Colossians chapter 1. He says of Christ, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now, notice it, hath he reconciled. Are you longing tonight to have that assurance that God is your heavenly Father? Your Father in glory, your Father in heaven. How can that come about? How can you have that assurance? How can you be reconciled with God? Through Christ. Through the blood of Christ. Through His sacrifice upon the cross. Friends, tonight, this is what Christ provides for us. And His salvation. This is why Christ is so precious. This is why it is so important to preach the gospel and to preach Christ and Him crucified and not preach what man says or what man thinks, but what the Bible says about Christ and the way to God through Christ. For it's only through Christ that you can know your sins forgiven. It's only through Christ that you can know peace with God. It is only through Christ that you can be reconciled with God. You look at our text there, you'll notice that Paul mentions only Christ here. He speaks of no one else. He simply says to these Christians at Colossae, he says, Christ in you, that the hope of glory. In other words, Christ is the only Savior. Christ is the only way of salvation. He is the only way to God. There's no other way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is not the church, this church or any other church. It is not baptism. It is not good works. It's not the Lord's table. And there's a place for baptism and the Lord's table in the life of God's people. But those things in themselves cannot save us. It is not Bible reading and simply saying our prayers. No. It is not doing good works and giving to charity. No. There's only one way to God. There's only one way to salvation. And as a little children's course says, Jesus is the only way. Oh, we see here the essence of the gospel. It is Christ. But notice, secondly, from our text tonight, notice the experience of the gospel. Notice further what Paul says in this text. He says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And those words there show us that we experience the blessings of the gospel and we experience God's salvation. It says, by Christ dwelling in our hearts. Paul says there, Christ in you. And how does Christ dwell in our hearts? He dwells in our hearts by the Holy Spirit coming and abiding in our hearts and souls as the people of God. People, can I say tonight that if this is to be so in our lives, then you and I, we must repent. We must repent of our sins before God. Yes, repentance means us acknowledging our lost, sinful condition before God. It means a turning away from sin. And my repentance is something that concerns every single one of us. None of us are excluded from repentance. The Bible says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And with this repentance from sin, we come to Christ by faith. We put our faith and trust in Christ as Savior. And this means you and I actually calling in faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. That is what the psalmist did. For he spake of the Lord and he could say, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him. He cried to the Lord. That's how it was with old blind Bartimaeus sitting on the wayside outside the city of Jericho. As Jesus passed by, he cried out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He called out in faith to the Lord to save him and to deliver him. Oh, think tonight of the dying thief who was crucified beside the Lord. He was nailed to the cross beside the Savior. His life was ebbing from his body. He was shedding his blood. He was dying. His hands, his feet were nailed to the cross. There was not one thing he could do. His time on earth was very short. Death was staring him in the face. And what did he say to the Lord Jesus Christ? He called out and he cried, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He called out in faith, in simple childlike faith upon the Lord to save him, to save him from his sins. And friend, this is what you must do also. If you are to be saved and experience God's salvation, you must call upon the Lord in faith as a repentant sinner. The Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." You must trust in the Lord. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, it says, by faith. And friend, if Christ is to dwell in your heart by faith, then you must receive Christ by faith. By faith alone, you must trust him and embrace him as your own and personal Savior. Friend, this is what God calls upon you to do in his word. This is what he calls you to do in the gospel, to repent, the Bible says, and believe. Believe on Christ and trust Christ. Turn with me in your Bible back to John's Gospel, chapter number 1. John's Gospel, chapter number 1. And look with me, please, at verse number 12. And there you have it very clear to us what we are to do as sinners if we're to be saved, if we're to know God's salvation. It says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them," notice it, "that believe on his name." Those who believe on Christ, those who trust Christ, are saved. Can I say it is only those who believe in Christ, it is only those who trust Christ who are saved. The Lord says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, for all, and be saved all ye ends of the earth." He says, "For I am God and there is none else." There's no one else who can do hopeless and helpless sinners good than Christ. And Christ alone, he's the one you must trust in. You must come to by faith as a repentant sinner and call upon him for salvation. This is what it means if Christ is to dwell in your heart. You think of what the hymn writer says. The hymn writer says, "I came to Jesus as I was. Weary and worn and sad, I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad." In other words, they came as a poor and needy, guilty, repentant sinner to Christ. They trusted him and they embraced him as their Savior. Friend, can I say, if this is to be your testimony also, then you must come by faith to Christ. You must trust him as your Savior. And people, can I say, once Christ comes to dwell in our hearts by his Holy Spirit, then he will be with you. He'll be with you in all the journeys of life. He says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." The Bible says to those who trust Christ, nothing can separate them from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. And also by his grace and power, he will change your life. He will help you turn away from sin and become more like Christ in your life day by day. He delivers from sin. Turn back to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. Look at what we read there in verse number 4 of what the Lord came to do through his death and through his sacrifice on the cross. Galatians 1 verse 4, Paul is speaking of Christ and he says, "Who gave himself," notice it, "for our sins." That's the substitutionary death of Christ. What for? Notice the purpose. "That he might deliver us," it says, "from this present evil world." Deliver us from evil and the ways of this ungodly world, he says, "according to the will of God our Father." Friend, this is what the Lord can do for you. He can change the whole course of your life. He can change it all around and by his grace give you grace and strength to live for him, to serve him, to obey him, to do his will, to live for his honor, for his glory in your life. Notice how Paul puts it there at the end of that chapter we're looking at tonight, Colossians 1, verse 29. He speaks of what the Lord was doing in his life, and he says, "Whereunto I also labor," he says, "striving according to his working," notice it, "which worketh in me mightily." Of course, there he's speaking about a service for God, and Paul was one who labored for God, but where did he get the strength and grace to do that? It was the Lord working in him, he says, "working in me mightily." Bear in mind what Paul was like before he was saved. He hated the gospel. He persecuted the Christians, the Church of Christ. But by his life was changed and turned around by the power of God. And that's what the Lord can do for you, dear friend. If you trust him, he can change your life around and enable you day by day to live for him, to live for his glory. Notice one final thought here from our text. Notice the expectation of the gospel. Notice what we read there at the end of our text in Colossians 1 and the verse number 27. It says, Christ in you, notice it, the hope of glory. Notice those final words are the hope of glory. And by the glorious end and expectation of the gospel, what is it? It is eternal life. It is blessing both for the body and soul of every Christian and heaven. My Paul is one here who speaks of this great hope to the Colossian Christians. Look at what he says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. He says, For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. He was reminding them there of the hope of heaven, the hope of glory. And again, he speaks further of it in verse 12 of Colossians 1 when he says, Giving thanks unto the Father, which have made us meet to be partakers, he says, of the inheritance of the saints in light. There he's speaking of the glory of in heaven, the inheritance of heaven. Likewise, friend, whenever Christ is your Savior, then one day too, you will enter into the royal courts of eternal glory in heaven. That's the end of the gospel. This means, yes, when you die, your soul goes immediately to heaven. The Bible says it is to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. And then when Christ returns, and Christ, friend, is coming back again in power and glory, and when he comes back again, your body will rise from the grave and be reunited with your soul in heaven forevermore. That's the hope of the gospel. Turn with me back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at what Paul says there in verse 51 through to verse 54. The great hope of the gospel, the hope of glory. He says, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible should have put on incorruption, and this mortal should have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that death is swallowed up in victory. What a hope, what a prize for the believer. And you know, dear friend, in heaven, you and I, yes, we will be perfect. We'll be like Christ, perfect like Christ. We will be free from all sin. The Bible says we shall see him as he is. Think of that. Perfect like Christ. In heaven, yes, we will be free from sin's curse, free from death, from sickness, from all the curse of sin in this world. The Bible speaks of heaven and it says, and there shall be no more curse. And in heaven, yes, we will be secure, saved from hell, from judgment for our sins. The Bible says to those that have Christ as Savior, For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And in heaven, yes, we shall have eternal and unbroken fellowship with Christ and with all of his redeemed people forevermore. Think of the words of Paul to the church at Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, he says, For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? There Paul was looking forward to heaven. Looking forward to meeting with Christ and to meeting with God's people forevermore, with the saints of God. And dear friend, tonight can I say this is what it means for you and I to have the hope of the gospel, the hope of glory through knowing Christ as our own and personal Savior. Tell me tonight, have you that hope within your heart, within your soul tonight? Are you looking forward to heaven, looking forward to glory? Is it well with your soul tonight? Are you prepared for heaven? My thinking of this glorious hope, the hymn writer could say, when all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, that will be glory for me. Glory for me. Oh, are you longing tonight for this blessed hope, this blessed expectation? Then, friend, come now by faith to Christ. Confess your sins to Him. Trust Him to be your Savior. And praise God, He will pardon all your sins. He will dwell in your heart by His Holy Spirit, and He will give you the hope of glory. Why? Because He's purchased that hope for us by His blood. When He cried out on the cross, "It is finished," our hope is secure, guaranteed by the blood of the cross. The Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's eternal rest for you tonight, found in Christ. But to know that rest, and to know that hope of glory, you must come as a sinner now in time to Christ and trust Him. Confess your sins to Him and call upon Him for salvation. We're going to close our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 268. 268, I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon thy breast." I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in Him a resting place, and He hath made me glad. Friend, tonight come to Christ, trust Him. And praise God, the words of this hymn will be your testimony and your hope also. 268 will stand as we sing. Our meeting with a word of prayer. If there's one tonight and there's a concern in your soul, you know your need of salvation, you want to be saved, come tonight to the Lord, call upon Him. If I can be of any help to you, I'd be no hurry away. We'd be glad to help you in any way that we can. But friend, it is Christ and Christ alone who can save. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence. Take us now to our homes in safety. Bless Thy word and Thy truth to all our hearts. We thank Thee for each one tonight who can rejoice in Christ and in the hope of glory, and Christ is their Redeemer. But for any tonight, and they have not this assurance, there's not this rejoicing in their heart of knowing Christ and of having the hope of glory within their soul, speak on to their hearts tonight. May they come and trust Christ and embrace Him, whom to know is life eternal. Here in heaven, Thy dwelling place, and answer prayer, for we ask it all in the Lord's great and wonderful name. Amen and amen.